Salutations out there. This is the Five Starter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I'm TKO. Got my main man, K-Bay.
What's up, y'all?
And Bob got the allergy bug, man. I wasn't going to say nothing, you know, but that joint hasn't hit me yet this season. Knock on wood, man.
Me either.
Yeah, so hopefully it stays that way. We're getting so much damn rain. It's almost inevitable, though. So it is what it is, man. Kenny, How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there, man. Hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah. Seems to be a thing going around right now, man. Yeah. Yeah, so apologies for not broadcasting last week. I had a shitty, like last Wednesday, man. Let me start off before I start talking about my sisters and their visit. My PSA for the week and the month is, if you ever have a fender bender out here, just go ahead and report it, man. Please go ahead and report it. You might not think it's a big deal. Unless you driving your Uncle Wendell's motherfucking Cadillac or Buick from back in the day and shit, you know? Go ahead and report it, because you never know what is going to cost you later on down the road. So like maybe last fallish, I want to say, I believe I told y'all about how some bitch hit me in the fucking parking lot at my job and parked the car right next to me. So security guard saw
it. That's a lot of nerve, man.
A lot of fucking nerve, huh?
Damn.
And that's why I called her a bitch, y'all, because that's what bitches do. Mm-hmm. Shit like that. So, yeah, so security guard was sitting in her car, and she saw it, and she came upstairs, was like, yo, this lady just hit you. And I'm like, man, what should you drive off? She's like, no, she parked right next to you. I'm like, what the fuck? So I went down, and it's a very small scratch on the underside of, like, one of my front bumper or whatever. I'm like, how the fuck do you back up and miss a whole space, though? The fuck, yeah? She on K2 that in the early in the morning and shit, man. So she hit my fucking car, and it really wasn't a big scratch or whatever. So I still went upstairs and called the police. And the police was so nonchalant, I was like, nobody probably coming out. And I'm like, why not? Like, it's an accident and shit. They was like, anybody get hurt? And I'm like, nah, I wasn't in the car. She's like, well, you probably ain't coming out. I'm like, this is some bullshit. So 30 minutes later, cops called me and said, we downstairs. And I'm like, okay. So I went downstairs. Like, this nigga ain't even stepped foot outside his motherfucking, his truck, Kenny. This nigga just like, yeah, so, anybody hurt? And I was like, nah. Like, well, you should get your insurance to handle that. I'm like, but don't I need a report, though? He's like, nah, just get your insurance to figure it out. I'm like, but I don't even know who this woman is, where she works, if she works here or just parks here, takes the metro. And the nigga's basically like, yeah, nigga, figure it out. And he drove off. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. So, like, my experience is if, you know, both parties aren't there and you don't have a police report, like, how can I report this shit? I mean, I guess you can, but I'm just not familiar with that shit. So then I'm starting to think about, okay, like, what if this bitch don't have no fucking insurance? It's going to cost you $500 and I don't really see nothing wrong with my car. Yada, yada. Didn't call my insurance. Fast forward to last Wednesday. Yeah, just, yeah, that shit cooked my whole damn, tax return. And then some, yeah. So, yeah, man, you might think it's not, it's going to cost you some money, your little deductible, man. What I would do to pay that deductible right now, you know? Mm-hmm. Just get that shit off my fucking jacket, but live and you learn, you know? So, yeah. Anybody even look at my car hard now, yeah, I'm calling my insurance company. That's just it, you know. Yeah. And I advise y'all to do the same thing. Because it's so many fucking sensors on these cars now and shit, man, that you don't think that, you know, it's like damaging anything, man. But, you know, the shit got to be recalibrated through the fucking computer and shit, man, and all that, man. You know, like, that's one thing. Like, I'm glad that like, I was contemplating getting a Tesla when my last lease was up or whatever, man, but I had so few miles in the fucking car, I decided to go ahead and buy it. But like, like Tesla's, just because there aren't a whole bunch of like shops. You have to go to a dealership, you know, get those OEM, you know, parts and shit, man. If you like hit a fucking Tesla, like whereas, you know, a regular, you know, foreign or American made car, like they'll probably, you know, try to figure out a way to fix the car. Like they want to jump them joints so bad, we're just going to push your damn insurance up to the moon anyway. And you got to get the new fucking car, you know? So, yeah, might want to keep that in mind if you're in like areas that, you know, big cities that you like just bound to have fender benders and shit like that, you know? Like that Tesla shit, dog. Like it's a slippery slope, you know? It can't be anyway. So, as that, you know. Other than that, man, I'm on my last leg of Hurricane Sisters coming through the DMV. They've been here since last Tuesday. Had a lot of fun, man. They actually went to New York and visited some of our cousins over the weekend. But shout out to my homegirl, Rail. She put them up for the first two nights. So they came, and then my sister in L.A., like, her bestie and her sister and then her daughter came also. So I took them out to the African-American Museum on last Thursday. And they really enjoyed that. So, yeah. Man, that's my second time going and shit, dog. That fucking bottom floor with that Middle Passage, you know, like, yeah, yeah. It's, it's no way not to head tilt in that motherfucking portion of the exhibit, you know. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, man, like, everybody should be looking at each other, just shaking their head like, man. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, exactly, you know.
Yeah, and don't go in there, and there'll be some white people getting in your way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, dog.
Yeah.
Them white people, yeah.
Yeah.
They was being so, it was like, man, they was carrying neutron bombs, you know? Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah. They was acting like Consuela on Family Guy, yeah.
No,
Mr. Peter, not home. No. Excuse me.
Yeah, dog. I went one time, you know, I brought my camera like the second time I came, you know. I swear to God, this one white lady who just kept walking right in front of where I was standing trying to take pictures, you know. Man, she didn't give a fuck, dog.
For real?
Yeah. And my sister was looking at me like, Kenny, don't say nothing. Because I know you. About to say something, because almost at one point I was kind of like she was doing it on purpose, you know. Yeah, she wasn't, but yeah, man, it's just it kind of hit different, you know.
Don't it though, you know? I'm like, yeah. Can I grieve my ancestors without like motherfucking without you getting in my fucking way? Like, I can't believe that, you know.
Yeah.
If it's any place they supposed to have some motherfucking coof, you know.
Yeah. No coof, you know?
Yeah.
Coof or coof. So.
Yeah. That's where you need a good pop up from Terry Tate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a bitch out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's been it's been a good trip though, man. Of course, my older sister, you know, she had an agenda the whole time, you know, so I thought they would stay until Tuesday, but, you know, she was staying until Wednesday, my middle sister and shit, so I just took her back to the airport and shit, man, and thank God she followed my damn, my wishes and flew into DCA and shit, man, because everything going on in Baltimore the past week, you know, I was like, see, this is why I told you to come to DC, you know, like, the day she came is when that motherfucker, that bridge collapsed and shit, like motherfucking Godzilla stepped on it, you know?
See, come on, you know? Come on, you know?
Young, I said, this ain't real, you know? See, dog, Kenny, the first video somebody sent me... Ain't no,
like Godzilla stepped on it, you know?
Godzuki, okay? That the lightning's up, you know? That's my man, Godzuki, you know? That Zuki. Nah, you know, the first video somebody sent me, dog, I was like, see... This is AI and shit, and this is what we're going to deal with, niggas trolling people with these fake-ass videos, dog. But, yeah. It was real.
Nah, I knew it was real. I was getting alerts like 6 o'clock in the morning, you know? I got like four of them back to back to back. I was like, yeah, this is really happening.
Damn, man.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've driven, because that's the way that we go to Atlantic City. Atlantic City, South Jersey, Philly, whatever like that. We go the back way instead of going 95. If you get them 95, you end up taking the dirty turnpike. And I ain't trying to get on that turnpike, you know, unless I absolutely got to, you know. So, yeah, man, like I said, I can't even begin to count how many times I've been over that bridge. And, like, that's one of them bridges that, like, when you get to the other side, you know, you just like, thank God, you know. Because of how just fucking massive it is, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that one, the Annapolis Bay Bridge and the Potomac River Bridge, out 301. Those are the three that, like, that get me every time. I'm just like, man, like, it just crosses my mind, like, you know, I just hope nothing happened while I'm over this motherfucking bridge, because I'm dead, you know, if it do, so.
Yeah, like, that Bay Bridge, I'm not, you know, necessarily paranoid from bridges, and it's crazy, because I actually got on a, got in an accident in New York as a kid on a bridge and shit, but I've never been, like, you know, like, scared of bridges and shit, but that Bay Bridge, like, I do, like, peering off to the left and shit, like, that's pretty, pretty large fall right there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
It does cross your mind. So, yeah, so, took her back to the airport and shit, man, and, yeah, yesterday, just, like, a by the way and shit, my elder sister, she was like, oh yeah, so I was thinking that, you know, we can drop her off, and yeah, I don't want to get on the road until early in the morning, don't you have your little show? And I was like, yeah, my podcast is tomorrow, I skipped last week. And she's like, oh, it's okay, you know, I'll just take a drive, you know, go out somewhere, you know, maybe I'll go to the casinos over in National Harbor. And I was like, what you had planned the whole time, man. Because when she lived, like, right outside of San Diego on the ocean side, she would always take them little bus trips out to the motherfucking desert to those Indian casinos and shit. So I was like, yeah, you just want to gamble, you know? Which is cool, you know?
Which is cool, yeah.
You could have told me that last week.
Yeah. A lot of people come to DC now to do that. They come to go to, like, MGM, you know?
Yeah.
I saw something last week that said that was the fifth most profitable casino in the country.
Word?
Yeah.
Damn. I think it's taking them bus trips to MGM. Like, that's the new dream, young. They taking them weekend trips to go gamble, young.
Yeah, man. It's going up there, though. It's not really that hard to believe. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I won't bore y'all no more, but yeah. Motherfucking just siblings, dog. Like, it's crazy, young. Like, I gave both of these chicks the same directions, the same address, at the same time on the same thread, you know. One came to East Capitol Street, one came North Capitol Street, and blamed me, you know. Like, well, you didn't put that in the text. I was like, yes, I did. How did she get it right and you got it wrong? She was like, nope. Nope, you didn't. All right, Kenny, let's get to some emails, because we haven't read them in a few weeks.
All right. So, if I did read some of these, forgive me, and if I don't get to some of you guys' emails, because a lot of these ones were marked as read, and I don't think I read them, so I'm just going to start here. This one is from Sheetrock. Greetings, gentlemen, tank submission. He said, I work on a large language model, think ChatGPT. I get it brought up by a coworker as a subject matter expert for a certain workflow about images of characters. I'm only a subject matter expert because they know I'm a nerd and be knowing pop culture shit. I get into a discussion with a data scientist about images of Ninja Turtles and how the images should be rated based on certain criteria. The conversation is going on my coworker's head because they are taking notes. We finally get done discussing the intricate differences of the designs, how to rate them. So my coworker goes, all right, so we could rate Raffaello 3, but Mr. Splinter would be a 1. We all bust out laughing except my coworker. I tell them it's Master Splinter. They go, you know, I don't know. That's why I brought you into the meeting. Mm-hmm. On to the feedback. I saw Dune 2 somewhat recently, and man, what a fucking movie. From the cinematography to the sound to the acting, everything was just excellent. How you say his name? Villeneuve? I don't know. Villeneuve. Let's call that brother V. How about that? V in the studio. I have not marketed doing as such, but I'm very interested in this science fiction universe. I'm a bit younger than y'all, but this is what it must have felt like seeing The New Hope in the theaters. There's a moment towards the end of the movie where the main character is giving a speech, and two things came to mind. Number one, Chalamet's own in the scene, and there's no way Sam keeps his agenda against this dude. I mean, that white boy was talking this shit in their language, and I believe him. I'm sure y'all have thoughts about the movie. I'm curious if Sam somehow holds on to the agenda. Thanks for giving us episodes to listen to. Regards.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam definitely did the smart thing. Jumped off that early.
Yeah. Yeah, it really don't want, ain't no winning that one, yeah. This was from Eddie. He was Goodfellas. Quick tank from Dan Lebatard. He was talking about Don Johnson from Miami Vice. He said that he played a racist in Django Unchained and The Watchers. The tank was funny enough, but you could hear the defeat in his voice because he knew it was wrong as shit. The role of the tank. Mm-hmm. This from Jeremy. Feedback tanks is number 600. What's up, fellas? Hopefully everyone is well, and I made the cutoff. Just want to say congrats on episode 600. I've been listening since around 2015, and I definitely appreciate y'all. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, too.
Quick tanks, refreshing the shower before the second part of this last season with my lady. She said she hate Amari Stoudemire ass. Yeah, she met him on Shumpert. Listen to a podcast, and they were talking about this Boeing shit. So they're going to have pilots in the cockpit like Denzel in Plane. Yeah, the movie is Flight.
Mm-hmm. In Plane, yeah? Yeah. That sounds like motherfucking John Henry named that motherfucking movie, yeah. In Plane, young.
Yeah. Self-report talking about Adam Sandler. I said that Wedding DJ is a classic. And the lady said, hit the notes at me. It's a wedding singer. Mm-hmm. It's real good, yeah. It's real good. A combo. Go ahead.
Hold up. What you think is cheaper, yeah? What you think costs more, the singer or the DJ, yeah?
Definitely the DJ, yeah. Yeah, and they got to bring all them crates and all that equipment, yeah. Yeah.
They's got to show up with a mic.
A mic, you know? Yeah.
Hit that Bluetooth to the sound system. You are now connected. That singer, yeah. Oh my goodness, people are so stupid.
All right. Combo Tank, talking about Poor Things. I said Emma Watson came a long way from Superbad. Whole room stopped and motherfuckers got to laughing. Fam said, you thinking about the shorty from one of the Wizard movies. It was Emma Stone in Harry Potter. More feedback. Dune 2 is a damn near perfect movie. Sound, visual, story, and pace. I know Bach got that shot on my agenda, but he's 3-for-3 right now. Dune, Wonka, and Dune 2. Can even say 4. Homer able mentioned to Don't Look Up. I don't know what that means. And lastly, fuck Tiffany Henyard. They got on allegations of covering up a sexual assault on top of scamming. She one of the most dubious bitches to hit the Chicago area in a while. Mm-hmm. Stay safe, hey, and hug your loved ones. Yeah.
Hey, Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Before they left the day, young, I made them watch that shit, young. I made them watch that Spencer Cornelia, what's called, chronological chain of events since she became more from, mayor, young.
Mm-hmm.
And, my sister got, she stomped her feet. She said, that bitch gotta go, young. She went in the room and packed, young. Yeah, I was smiling so big, young.
Yeah, dog.
Hey, it's when she hit that, bitch better have my money.
Yeah.
Baby, what you owe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, because, you know, she was dressed like Nino Brown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Martin as Nino Brown. Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But she was holding that little fake-ass Triumph insult mm-hmm. comic mm-hmm. dog, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
like, why she need a dog, though? I said, nope, you mad. Out of all the things we going to be mad at right now, you talking about the dog, yeah?
Yeah. Oh man. Well, that's good though to get people on the fuck Tiffany in your bandwagon, young, but yeah.
Hey, young man.
It's not hard to do, but
at all.
Yeah.
So like we watched like a couple of the videos from the past couple of days, but when she been in front of the council and shit at the, those public town halls and shit, young. Dog. Hey, she's scared, Kenny.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm.
Her face, young. Like, yeah, it ain't a fucking joke anymore, dog. Like,
nah, she's not at
scared,
all.
Scared, young.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
FBI involved, young.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, I mean, if you go in the comments, dog, I think fucking Satan himself can have some people like, well, you know, you can't prove what he didn't. But, like, the majority of people, young, like, after those rape allegations, young, from the girl, from the lady on the council that went to Vegas, dog, like, mm-hmm. yeah, young, that really turned the tide, young. People are disgusted now.
Yep.
As they should have been
as they
the whole
been.
Time. Dead. But better late than never.
Exactly. Yep. I agree. Alright. This next one is from my old friend Leonard Brothers. Say, what up, fellas? Just passing by to drop a quick tank. I just heard my niece is over here right now. She asked me, hey, did you watch that Jeezy Little Desk concert? As soon as I heard that, my eyes got big as shit and I busted out laughing and said, it's Tiny Desk.
Little Desk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right on cue, she hit that classic pink response. It's the same thing. Yeah, I laughed again. Then a few minutes later, she called Stephen A. Smith. That shit had me cooking so hard I coughed. Anyway, that's all I got for now. Unless she drops another bomb and it's before she leaves. Peace. Mm-hmm.
That little desk, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, man, shout out to DJ Cousin B, man. Like, been a long time fixture in the city, but he's from St. Louis, oddly enough. But he's like the first like DJ who kind of like really did day parties here in DC, man. But he's the curator of the Tiny Desk series, man. And like, you know, just see how it's come full circle. And now like that's some shit that people like actually look forward to now, man. It's like a mainstay now, dog. Like super proud of that dude, man. And like, you know, there's all the props and praises he gets, man. Yeah, the fucking Big Sean joint they dropped last week. Scarface a couple weeks ago, man. Yeah, man. Them Jones can't miss us, John.
Nice. All right. This one is from the Creole Kid. Titled Tourism in D.C. Said, what's good, fellas? Long time listening supporter. No tanks to report, but y'all seem like y'all know your way around the D.C. scene. My wife and I in our mid-30s and like to turn up on vacation. Any thoughts on restaurant, brunches, nightlife, and local attractions? K-Baz, we went to Nashville. To the Museum of African American Music, great recommendation. Also, she is a Chicago native, so we get to settle if it's mild sauce or mumbo sauce. Also, what are the local food associated with DC? Thanks to your hard work over the years, the podcast has been a staple and really entertainment for me. Kenny, my wife, lost 30 pounds due to your recommendation. Thanks again. So after a long email. Yeah. That's what's up, brother. Congratulations, man.
I think we read that one a couple weeks ago.
We did? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mentioned like Sequoia as a brunch spot. St. Aslan is another good either brunch spot or dinner spot. That's the one I talked about a couple weeks ago, that they have all you can eat and drink for dinner as well as brunch.
You know, we did read that because I said I wanted to read this one because he hit me up on Twitter, you're right. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, also District Alley, I took my sisters there like last Thursday, which was the day before they had the soft open for their new location on 8th Street. I didn't get a chance to go out there on Friday since I went on Thursday to the OG spot. But yeah, had a good turnout for that, so I'll be going there soon. So if you're in D.C., man, either one of the District Alleys should be a good spot, you know, for a responsible turnout, you know. Mature people there, good people there, and, you know, good owners and everything. By the way, Kenny, how was your experience at the National Harbor day party, huh?
Loved it.
Everything and more, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Everything you said it was gonna be in and then some, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
See, you don't feel like elaborating, that's okay.
Hey, man, I will say this. The drink prices were astronomical. That was the only thing.
That's absolutely astronomical.
But as far as like the crowd that it attracted, yeah, man, I felt right at home, say the least, man. I saw some people in there I ain't seen in a while. Definitely, like, you know, age appropriate. And yeah, man.
Yeah, well, last thing on that, you know, I am a protector of identities here on the podcast. But yeah, somebody said they were there and they said, hey, isn't that K-Badge right there? And then somebody else who, you know, noticed to make that comment said, what the hell are you, a five-star groupie? No names, just
comments.
Filling the blank.
I don't think this is a big mystery, you know. Yeah. Who said what, but, yeah.
Whose line is that anyway?
Yeah.
Is he mad? Is his shirt untucked? Yeah. Hey, he called me. He's like, oh, who said that, you know? I don't know. I thought you did. Like, you grew up with that shit.
Yeah. This one is from Mistake Coffee. It says, sup fellas, I was chilling with my ignorant great uncle recently, and we were talking about Oscar winners. This dude proceeds to say, yeah, Robert Douglas Jr. has come a long way. I remember him in True Believer. I couldn't get into them Iraq Man movies, though.
God damn.
Yeah, this nigga hit the double whammy. I said, OG, his name is Robert Downey Jr. Are you talking about Iron Man?
Hold up. Read that again, Kenny, from the beginning here.
I was chilling with my ignorant great uncle recently, and we were talking about Oscar winners. This dude proceeds to say, yeah, Robert Douglas Jr. has come a long way. I remember him in True Believer. I couldn't get into them Iraq Man movies, though.
Hey, young, not Iraq Man, young.
Iraq Man. Or Iraq. Iraq, all right, yeah. He looked at me with the Gucci smile from the collar and said, the nigga was in Iraq, wasn't he? Shake my head. Man.
This is awful, young. Awful. Iraq Man, young. You gonna kill everybody with a damn sand weapon, young? A sand harness, young? It's awful, young.
Yeah. Oh, and I want to thank y'all for putting me on to Mr. Chime Time. This nigga funny as fuck and a nice kind of balance to Keith Lee. Yeah. As always, keep up the good work. Mistake Coffee. Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man. That nigga been down in Charlotte, North Carolina, yo.
He been trashing the scene, yo. Oh,
nigga, what?
Yeah. He be looking so disappointed. He be slamming that motherfucking plastic fork in. Like, this ain't it.
Yeah, when he start laughing, yeah, that little sinister laugh, you know. Yeah, it's coming, yeah.
He be hitting that, say it would be trash.
Yeah, he start counting down, you know.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Dog food. Yeah, he'll say any goddamn thing, you know. Yeah.
Oh, man.
What the fuck is a zebra meat, bitch? Yeah, he just... He don't give a fuck, you know.
Hey, yeah, speaking of food, yeah, I was watching it's this YouTube channel that just like does like recaps of old food review shows and shit, yeah. So, you know, I had to scroll this nigga's whole fucking channel and shit, yeah, to find Taff Dog and the motherfucking Pirates, right? Do you know these motherfuckers, like, they try to give them a comeback, young? Because they failed without them, young. They didn't take that sign down a couple of days after. They took it down the next day, Kenny.
Yeah.
the next day, dog.
Yeah.
Then they failed, had to close that motherfucker down. Then they opened a bar down in Florida, and it was actually all right, but they had to close soon after too, you know. And yeah, man. Tab Dog was partying on them. He's like, they should have listened. Hey, Tab Dog be yelling, yo. He passionate, yo. They should have listened to me in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, we start pointing now. Yeah.
It's that lady husband, that nigga name was Juiciano, yo. Mm-hmm. He said, you fuck me, I fuck you. Hey, Juice Dog was hot, yo. He was tired of getting blamed, Kenny. He said, you fuck me, I fuck you.
Hey, can you send me the link to that, please? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He trying to talk about, like, he trying to say that the producers made him say them bad things about Taft. Like, nope. Nah. You trying to be friends, John. Nah. You trying to be friends the now, producers,
yeah. That whole producers put me up to a trick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to use them Costanza motherfucking tactics, John.
That shit ain't gonna work.
Nah. Taft dog be around the motherfucking block, yo.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I remember that one time he went to a bar. I think it was in Colorado, you know. I've never seen somebody more disgusted in my motherfucking life, you know. Like, I really thought, like, you know, if there was, like, a sharp object by him, he just would have stabbed his dude in the neck, you know. Like, seriously, he just had it, you know.
What? That kitchen was dirty, you know?
Kitchen was fucking hey, disgusting, you know.
That pisses him off more than anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay pretty good too, yeah. Because he on the same channel, dog. So he went to some spot in like in Georgia, and it was like a down south, down like southern spot or whatever, man. Mm-hmm. So they had a smoker in the back, you know. These motherfuckers were smoking wings and shit, then putting them in containers and throwing them in the fridge in the freezer, young, and then warming them up in the microwave when people order them and shit, man.
What?
Dog. Somebody, he said, is there anything in here that isn't cooked in the microwave? And this nigga said a salad, man. I said, oh my God, man. I said, oh my God, man. Some nigga said, but Chef Ramsay, he said, shut up, you donut. The Rams,
yeah.
I said, young. Hey, they was all black like too, young. And I was like, young, you can't even call him racist for calling him a donut, young. That's just good, young.
That's just good, young. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I've been watching Gordon Ramsay for a long time, young. If you are a black owned restaurant, young, you better have an old black, sweet old black lady on your staff, or young, he gonna shut your shit. That's the only saving grace you got, young. You better have an old, sweet black lady on him, baby, and stuff like that. And know how to bake or do something, you know. Because other than that, yeah, you cook, you know.
Yeah.
He'll spare you for that, you know, but.
Yeah. Taff Dog loud, you know, but Jordan, Gordon be getting nasty, you know.
Yeah, he do.
He be dressing motherfuckers the fuck down, you know.
And they be deserving it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they deserve it, yeah.
Had to update you on Taft Dog, you know.
Yeah. All right. This one's from Frank, Philly, Dion in Colorado. So, fellas, got a question for Kenny since I know you work in college football and football recruiting. It's not a thing I got to take one foot out of this Dion bandwagon. This is coming off the press conference where he said he won't make in-home visits and doesn't use his travel budget because he wants to save the university money. That's a red flag like shit. I know how important it is for coaches to travel, not just to see the recruits, but maintain relationships with coaches at the high school level. When I went to Virginia in the early and mid-2000s, I remember a big reason why Virginia Tech put distance between themselves and UVA was because Beamer kept a close link with high school coaches in the 757, Tidewater, Hampton Roads region, and Algro mostly ignored them. Then I read that he's got only 7 kids in his oncoming freshman recruiting class because he's mostly focused on the transfer portal. Maybe that's a smart approach given NIL, but that's where you'd be more knowledgeable. Look, I know it's likely Deion already has an eye on his next move, and that's fine. After all, 80% of coaches won't be at their current post 5 years from now, but do you think this approach is smart or too hasty from him? I appreciate the work y'all put in for over a decade to give us weekly drops, Frank. I don't quite understand it. I really don't. Now that you can't have limits on how many, you know, counters you bring in per year, as long as you keep it under a certain, you keep your roster under a certain number of players, I still believe in the traditional approach of like recruiting guys, bringing them in, developing them. But now, funny enough, you brought this up because I was talking to Tone about it before we started the show about the transfer portal and its impact now and how many windows you have throughout the season. And now that they got rid of the rule where you can't, well, you used to have to be able to sit out if you transferred more than once. But now they got rid of that, so now you have immediate eligibility for multi-time transfers. So just give you an example, Caden Proctor transferred from Alabama to Iowa in the last portal window, was able to get, you know, some bread from, I think it's called The Swarm, which is Iowa's NIL collective, once it came on to Iowa, and then he's transferring back to Alabama.
Wow.
Now, not everybody's going to be able to do that. Now, he is an elite prospect, but now, I mean, you just had, there's no rules anymore when it comes to this type of stuff, when it comes to player movement in college football. So, now with the transfer portal windows now, again, now that players can transfer as many times as they want, essentially free agency now in college sports. How you utilize these windows now, now with like the portal window that's getting ready to open up on the 16th, when most teams are going to be done like their spring games and they'll be looking to fill holes heading into the season. I don't think it's going to be as active as the window was in December, but you have opportunities for programs like Colorado's to fill some holes that they have, add depth to their roster. Now, whether or not that's a winning strategy, I don't think it's going to happen, but I could be wrong. You know, I still think that you need to bring guys in that are going to develop, that want to be a part of your program. You got guys coming in do NIL. A lot of times you don't really know what their motivations are. You know what I'm saying? And you see it a lot in college basketball as well. Like, you can improve your team immensely in the offseason. Like, we saw it, Alabama did it. Just to give an example of a team that utilized it, you know, smartly. But then again, I saw, like, what, you know, Georgetown done the last couple years in the portal. Like, sometimes, I don't know, just watching them play, it's like you could tell these guys are kind of playing for the name on the back of the jersey as opposed to the name on the front of it. So they go into places where they can just kind of get theirs, and the product kind of shows that. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm not going to completely count that dude out, man. Because Colorado did improve last year. Like, I know at the end of the day there, their record wasn't what people, I guess, maybe thought it was considering how they started the season, but they did improve. He has two of the most talented players in college football on his roster coming back in Shador and Travis Hunter. You know, there's talent there, but whether or not it's dependent almost exclusively on the transfer portal is a winning strategy. We'll see, but I don't see it personally, but
I'll be wrong. To come out and say that you're just not going to make any in-home visits, though, that's crazy, huh?
So, yeah, man, why would I go to their house when the players want to come see my house? Or they want to come see me. They want to come see this. They want to come see that. They, you know,
right? Yeah, that's a slippery slope, young. I mean, he the new shiniest toy, young, but what happens when you lose some of that fucking luster, though? When and if, you know? Yeah.
A lot of it is relationships, man. That's
Yeah.
That's recruiting them, so. Yeah. All right. This one is from Jane Boy. Mm-mm. Sweet 16 Carriages. Beyonce voice. Sweet 16 Carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away to the spring sunset on a holy night on a long black road, all the tears of joy I fight. Hey, man, these niggas ain't no fucking body in my bar voice. Let me just give y'all a short run of the choke jobs over the years. In 2016, UA lost to Wichita State. In 2017, as a 2 seed, they lost to 11 seed Xavier. In 2018, as a 4 seed, Arizona lost to 13 seed Buffalo. In 2022, number 1 seed UA lost to 5 seed Houston. In 2023, number 2 seed UA lost to 15 seed Princeton. And this year, a 2nd seed UA lost to the 6 seed Clemson. Mind you, they was fucking cheating and outright paying players before NIL. People went to fucking prison. Mike Bibby ain't walking through that door. They've been having top 5, 10, and 15 classes and still flame on Sweet 16 or Elite 8. Yeah, Loot and Glow Voice. Y'all can say, well, Jamboy, what has ASU done? I'm the first one to tell any other fan, it's our president. We know the issue. We just can't get Michael Crow out the fucking way. But since we're on institutions, in the words of Pusha T, the worst feeling is realizing that you're poor as the Fed knock on your door. Someone please explain to me how you lose $250 million. Look it up. UA hate aside, something going on up there, and because they're in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, this not being talked about enough, where's the fucking money? It ain't going to facility upgrades or maintenance, I can tell you that. They got professors on the news crying because they can't get paid on time. It ain't going to tuition relief for students. Also, the lady in charge ain't been fired yet. I call shenanigans. Anyway, K-Bab, remember your college basketball life was in a hard place and you considered they underachieving fucks? Mm-hmm. Could have been real bad, you know. Switching gears, report mom's tank. So she asked me how AI was doing, like I know him personally. I'm a Sixers fan that grew up being an AI stan, so I get it. But for weeks, she kept talking to me about him. So finally, she said she was really proud of him and how far he's come. And that he got his education from Georgetown. So I look at her confused and say, okay. She then further said it's a shame people are hating on him because of becoming a mogul. And if he keep taking their jobs, they're going to have to find another industry to be a part of. I said, Mom, we talking about Allen Iverson. She said, yeah, I was reading an article about he's taking the journalism world by storm all of a sudden. And people can't survive. I bust out laughing on the screen. Yeah, Chuck, we got to get Skip Bayless up to the point. I let it go on for a few minutes before I had to tell her. They talking about artificial intelligence. Bruh, I was good for 30 minutes after that convo. Mind you, she just got over how Bluetooth and Wi-Fi works. K-Bag, you inspired me to write this. And in case you talk about how Mama Bag is going to be with them Adreo air fryer instructions. Hope y'all good.
Okay. By the way, we got another one now. I got a lady at my job to get it, you know.
Another one, yeah.
Another dog. Mm-hmm. She said, so I saw on Monday, she said, yeah, I introduced Mr. Drell to the family this weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She calls it Mr. Drell, yeah. Mr. Drell. And she said, yeah, my son is not allowed to use it because he don't know how to clean up behind himself. So every time I use it, I wash it, I dry it, and I put it back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna put an appliance or air fryer back in the box after every use. Mm-hmm. It's the trail, young.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, mom got used to it, you know.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. She making some chicken in it right now, you know. I just heard them buttoning, you know. Mm-hmm. Heard them beeps, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she made some salmon yesterday, you know. Nah, she can't wait to tell me how to do it, you know. First thing she say when I wake up now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dreo.
Yeah.
Hey, my sister got mad at us this one because we was laughing at her ass because she know how to fucking warm up a damn ciabatta roll in that joint, you know? Mm-hmm. I said, just hit toast, young. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, just hit air fryer. She's like, I don't have an air fryer. I said, man, it's simple, young. Mm-hmm. I said, cool. We're going to get you right, babe. We're going to get you right. Yeah. All right.
And And this one is from Jared. Q's and Tanks. Hello, five star. Hope all is well. Questions. Does Billups getting to the Hall of Fame mean someone like Kyle Lowry and Marbury have a chance? I think Stephon Marbury should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't even really think that's controversial, to be honest with you. I don't know about Kyle Lowry. Think about Steph, though, man. Like, he was all world in high school. Mm-hmm. Played 1 year at Tech. Had a good year in college. Went to the NBA, and he had a, I mean, he didn't have, like, an all-time career, but let me see, if I had to guess how many All-Star games he went to, I'd say he probably went to, like, what, maybe 6 All-Star games? I might be slicing that. Hold up.
Think you got figures that many?
Yeah, I ain't that many. Hold up. One. Yeah. Damn. He went 6. I was slicing like shit. He went to 2, man.
2? Yeah. Nah.
All NBA twice.
You know.
But then you can't discount. Because I'm sitting there looking at it, and you forget sometimes, like, what he did overseas playing in China. Because you look at his NBA career, the numbers are good. He has, I mean, for his career, he played 846 games, averaged 19 points, 3 boards, 8 assists.
He is nice.
Yeah. yeah, 2-time All-Star, 2-time NBA All-Pro. But then again, he had a hell of a career overseas, though, man.
How much is that going to weigh?
It should. Why wouldn't it? When the other guys, like, what they did overseas counts.
I mean, I'm not familiar with, like, how regarded the league he played in overseas is, so.
I don't really think. Hold on for a second. I'm going to look up.
So, while you're looking up, I think what's going to hurt him is what's going to hurt a lot of receivers trying to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame going forward. Because these numbers are so inflated for the receivers that are playing right now, these numbers are not going to look very as impressive in the next 10 to 15 years. So, you know, Andre Johnson has got in now, but, like, you know, say somebody like, shit, like Stephon Diggs just got traded today. Talk about that in a minute. His numbers are going to be so inflated, you know, like, you know, barring any, like, serious injury or whatever, like, Andre Johnson had a fucking phenomenal career, it's not going to look as impressive and shit because motherfuckers just throw the damn ball every damn down now and shit. So, that's kind of, like, how point guards are going to be, like, judged in the next, like, 10, 15 years, man. Like, see these niggas, like, man, I was about to text you when I found a motherfucker, Rick Brunson dropped 61 every day, young. I was like, see, what the fuck I be talking about, young? Like, this shit is inflated as a motherfucker, young. These numbers are crazy, so a nigga who, like Steph, who was a fucking problem and shit, man, it just looked, eh? He ain't win nothing either, eh?
By the way, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, my bad. Yeah, young, like, that shit ain't gonna be impressive in the next, like, 10, 15, like, you know, it's not impressive now, you know? So, when these, like, good to above average, you know, guards are having these guardy-ass numbers, man, it's going to hurt the fucking classes before them. Unless you just get, like, somebody who's, like, you know, some motherfucking people who are on this voting committee that are stuck to the motherfucking principal and like, they have, like, a wealth of knowledge of, like, NBA past and just know how to, like, you know, differentiate now versus then. But you got a lot of fucking lazy ass journalists just look at numbers and shit. They fucking number nerds, huh? So I don't know.
I don't know, man. I just think Stephon, yeah. Yeah. I think maybe for people who maybe aren't as older, they may just kind of look at his look at his numbers, look at his accomplishments, and say like, just based off that, like, nah. But yeah,
impact. Yeah, man, yeah. He's that dude, yeah.
Came back. Can you explain to me the Drake May hype? I thought he was a lot better last year in North Carolina than he was this year. And that maybe just be a case of overanalyzing somebody. But I always thought, like, man, you know, really good arm. Not maybe the most accurate dude in the world, but athletic. I know the accuracy thing is going to stick. And, of course, I mean, that's the whole purpose of playing quarterback, is making sure you throw accurate passes. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at the top of the draft.
Ain't it?
I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion when people say that it's a foregone conclusion that Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. But I know some people who say that that's not necessarily written in stone. Who Washington may like at number two. You hear things about them liking possibly liking J.J. McCarthy more than they like Drake May. Or possibly they like Zane Dan. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how true a lot of this stuff is, man. But it's just a lot of stuff just is kind of floating out there. I will be surprised if the first three picks aren't quarterbacks, but we'll see. Jaden Daniels had a fantastic year at LSU last year. There's a reason why he won the Heisman Trophy. He was absolutely electric, man. I know some people who think he's just the best quarterback prospect, like even better than Caleb Williams. So we're going to see, man. We're going to see. I like Drake May again. Like last year coming out of the draft, and again, I don't think he played poorly this year. I think far from it. And again, it just could be a case of just overanalyzing somebody, but we'll see.
He was down a big weapon most of the season too, so yeah, kind of.
Going for the tank, he said moms refer to house party as party house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also called the radio host head crack rock. All
right.
And yeah, then we got through all the emails.
All right. Hey. Back up to speed. Good shit. All right. What's going on in the NBA? How many weeks are the playoffs, Kenny?
And how many weeks are they?
I'm to the playoffs.
I'm not 100% sure. Just looking at the standings, yeah. So, like, most of the teams got about a week or so left, seven games left in the season. So, the play-in tournament starts the 16th, starts that Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. Hopefully the Lakers finish up strong. Brom in and out the fucking lineup and shit. We played a Wizard tonight, yeah, because Bros was in the chat talking about why the fuck these tickets cost so much when these niggas is terrible. Yeah, it's Brom, you know, so I didn't think it would be that big of a fucking surprise, but it is what it is. Yeah, just wait and see what these niggas do in the playoffs, Sean. I don't got much. Now, Kenny, the Wizards have won a couple games here in the past.
I don't want to talk about it, you know. I really don't want to talk about it.
Is it hurting that their draft stock that much, or?
So I just don't understand the purpose. I just don't get it. Like, I saw somebody posted like an article today. I don't know if somebody wrote this for the Washington Post or whatever. And it's some, like, I guess they won some game the other day. Cause I'm not paying attention because I don't care.
They beat the Bucks, huh?
Yeah, that's who it was. They beat the Bucks.
Dog, you know,
this win proves that, like, the rebuild is working. I'm like, dog, they 15 and 61.
All right. Yeah. Well, since you want to talk about them, we've given them the grace period. how bad of a high is this Doc Rivers shit at this point, young? Like, they like right around 500, young. Like, they bad, young. Hey, Tom,
I don't understand how he keeps getting hired. Like, he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to take teams over the hump. I didn't understand it when they did it.
I mean,
I don't get what his reputation is around league circles. So again, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, young, but I'm just sitting on the surface when I saw it. I'm like, they did that to hire him?
To do this? It's like, you know, people probably on the Clippers and shit, because they started off, you know, unimpressive when they traded for Harden, but you know, they gave him that little grace period, and they started playing better. I know they kind of lost some games here recently, whatever, man. But they haven't been this bad. Like, this shit is, like, these motherfuckers were, like, solidly at number two. Solidly. They were a solid number two when Griffin got fired and shit. And, like, they're still number two, young. But they like, fucking, they almost, like, double-digit games behind Boston now, young. They've been terrible, young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why they fire Budenholzer again, dog? Like, did he win a fucking championship with them?
So, look, man.
I mean, seriously, dog. Like, this ain't the Lakers or the Celtics, young. It's fucking Milwaukee, young. You win a title, young. You supposed to get to like call your own number, young. So that's how it worked.
Yeah, they fired Budenholzer, then they brought in Adrian Griffin.
Right. So I'm like, Budenholzer, like, why did he get fired again? Like, Milwaukee got standards, young? Like, outside of Giannis hating him, young, I can't think of any other reason why you would fire a coach who brought you your first title fucking ever, young. That's insane.
It was that first round loss, you know, to the Heat.
But Chris Middleton was hurt and shit, right?
Giannis was hurt, man.
Yeah, see, man, yeah.
And oh, by the way, his brother died in a car crash during the series.
Boy, oh boy, y'all. Yeah, that franchise deserved everything they got coming to them, y'all. Insensitive, bad decisions, and I'm like, who the fuck they think they are?
And the thing is, when he was coach there, they went to the playoffs every year. So his first year there, they finished 60-22, lost in the conference finals. The next year, they went 56-17, lost in the conference semifinals. Then the following year, as a Kobe year, 46-26, won the NBA championship. And then the following year, 51-31, lost in the conference semifinals. And then the following year after that, they went 58-24. They lost in the first round. They fired them after that.
You know what, you know what they should do,
and they finished first in the Central Division every year. And by the way, real quick, I just counted. He's coached at Milwaukee 5 years. Five times they won over 50 games. One time they won 60. Dog, the Bullets / Wizards ain't won 50 games since 1978.
Is he coaching anywhere now?
Nah.
Bro, you know what need to happen, young? They need to call him, apologize, and then bring him back, young. Look, man, I'm a Mets fan, but one thing I do admire about the motherfucking Yankees, dog, like, Steinbrenner went back and got Billy Martin like 15 times, young. Say, you know what? You're a good coach. Matter of fact, no, you're not. Yes, you are. No, like, dog, if you can't find nobody better, you go back and get what will work, young. Work best.
And see, Tony, the thing is, then they bring in Adrian Griffin. He go 30-13.
Yeah, young.
And then they fire him.
Somebody owe Doc a favor or something, yeah. Just don't make no sense. I'm from Milwaukee. What? Who is y'all? Maybe it's meant for us not to understand some shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all NBA I got. Seen Embiid made his way back last night, so hopefully he'll be healthy enough to, you know, play without any real injuries in the playoffs. Kind of a raw deal he got towards latter part of the season. Real quick before I forget, man. Rest in peace, Vontae Davis.
Yes, indeed.
Heartbreaking news yesterday. 35 years old, Kenny. Like, if you in your 40s, man, you just know how fucking young that is, John. Like, some of my most memorable moments and most fun I've had in my life is like from 35 on up, you know. Like, didn't even get to, like, you know, you may have attained some type of knowledge or whatever, man, but, you know, just to apply it, enjoy it, and share it and shit, man, a lot of that shit comes in your the latter part of your 30s and your early 40s, man. And see a brother like that, man, who just isn't going to be able to enjoy that, man. It's just, it's heartbreaking, man.
Yeah. Vontae and his brother Vernon, they sponsored our football camps in the city. You know, just from my limited interactions with, I didn't know him like that, but, like, you know, just from being around him, like, doing the camps and stuff like that, doing the gators we had, man, like, somebody that always had a smile on his face. I know he cared deeply about his community. Definitely he's one of those dudes that, like, felt like it was his responsibility to give back. You know, like, just how he came up, the stuff that him and his brothers had to endure as kids, man, and just the know all that and know that they made it on the other side and made it to the NFL and became extremely successful. And it really touched a lot of people, man, because, again, he was just, like, just a great person, you know, just outside of what he did on the football field, man. Just, like, somebody, like, I was talking to somebody yesterday that knew him very, very well. Just, like, man, just a kind soul, always had a smile on his face, man, just great dude. And a lot of people were just absolutely just devastated to hear about what happened to him, man. And yeah, prayers go out to, you know, his family. I can't imagine what they're going through right now, man. But just kind of, just, it's hard to just kind of wrap your mind around. Because, like you said, 35 years old, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright, at the draft camp in a couple of weeks, I think we'll get into that more as weeks progress. On to the NCAA tournament. We lost last Thursday. Kenny, I'm done young watching games. You can call me, you know, put me in that motherfucking Seagal meme all you want, dog. Every time I go out and watch a fucking game, young, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
Lost the state in the championship game, the ACC tournament and shit, and then last Thursday is when I took my sister to the museum, and then we went to happy hour down at King Street Oyster Bar, and you know, one of my sister's friends bought her daughter. She's like 28, I think. So even though she enjoyed the, you know, the happy hour and the fucking the museum and shit, I wanted to take her someplace, you know, with some nightlife in D.C. So I took her to what's called District Alley on U Street and shit, man. And, yeah, man, proceeded to lose. Not only lose, but get trolled by the head chef, who's a Duke fan, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah. I said, I'm done with this, yeah. Oh, I will see him this weekend, though. So, best believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fat Boy was tap dancing on them real good, yeah, on Sunday, dog. He was singing some motherfucking drill song in that fucking hallway, dog. And I was like, yep. Do the same thing you did against us, against them. That's all I ask. You know, that's all I ask. So, appreciate you, DJ. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to watch games no more. Like, man, if I can't be at home, you know, then I don't know, man. I guess I go somewhere with, like, no TVs. I don't know, young. Like, I'm just bad luck watching games now, so the whole season, I hadn't watched them, and they've been winning. And two games out of three that I've seen out in public, young, they lose, and I watch them. So that's it for me. I will admire from afar. Because the thing about it is, when you don't watch them, and like, then you do watch them when they're losing, you don't know who to blame, young. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I know RJ had a big, big part in it because he stunk it up and shit, man. But everybody was taking bad shots. So I'm like, okay, I know he's to blame for this portion of it. But then late in the game when people were taking, like, you know, hero shots and shit, like, is that a good shot for him or not? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
No,
if you got to ask the question, you know,
so
it's not a good shot.
So that first game when we beat Duke and shit, and that nigga Harrison Ingram was taking shots that I wouldn't think a nigga with no muscle mass should be taking and shit, you know, I said, well, maybe he just one of these Todd Day ass niggas who, you know, don't work out and shit and can make shots. And I don't know, you know, but apparently that was...
He been hooping for them. Like, I ain't going to blame this loss on him. I know a lot of people want to point the finger at RJ Davis. He went 0-9 from 3. I know there was a lot of talk, you know, coming into the tournament. You know, is RJ Davis an all-time Carolina great? You know, not a lot of dudes, you know, went ACC play of the year. Even though he didn't beat, you know, it wasn't like he beat out somebody like a Lynn Bias or Michael Jordan for the award or something like that. But he still was ACC play of the year.
Right.
And has had a really good career at Carolina. And I know a lot of people are now kind of pointing the finger at him because he hit that 0-9 from 3. But games like that are going to happen, you know. You got to find ways to lock in and win games. At some point, you also got to point the finger a little bit at the coach. Because I don't know why Elie Cadota played – like, we played – let me look at this up real quick. I think it was 12 minutes, 11 minutes. Wait a minute. Elie Cadota against Alabama played 13 minutes.
Yeah.
He got to play more than that.
Yes and no, young. He was so damn.
He's the best facilitator on that team.
He is, but he was a lot. He was very gunshot. And when they started zoning up and just like daring him to shoot, young, when the white boy came in and hit that three, young, like I think Hubert just went with him, young. And I'm not mad at that necessarily. Like, the team just lost, young. Like, everybody took bad shots. And it was one of them games where you needed...
One guy took a bad worse shot than everybody else. That's Jalen Little shit. You can't take that shot, you know?
Yeah, see? I don't know whether he's the blame
for
that.
No. He can't take that shot right there, you know? Yeah. It was 19 seconds left on the shot clock. You up by 1 or 2 points. A minute left. You need to just get the best shot you possibly can. There's a reason why you're open for that. They allowed you to take that. Yeah. You don't take that shot. And it kind of felt like after he... took that shot and missed, and Alabama got to be like, yeah, they're going to find a way to lose this game, you know?
Yeah. Then that white boy with that motherfucking Danny Amonte mustache, he was hoping, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grant Nelson, you know? Again, I mentioned Alabama earlier using the transfer portal. Yeah, they got him out of the portal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Out of North Dakota State, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But on the more Smurfy things, I've been saying it for years. Motherfuckers be acting like the end of the world is happening when these motherfucking schools, when Duke and Kentucky be getting these motherfucking classes and shit, young. Coaching, recruiting, two mm-hmm. different things, young. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Cal be losing like shit, young. Mm-hmm. Like losing early mm-hmm. with a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great coach, huh? Mm. I mean, am I wrong?
Man, I can already imagine the
I ain't worried, man.
Gonna keep him safe.
First of all, whatever CA says, I ain't going to hear it because I don't care.
Yeah.
So, He gonna be talking to himself, you know?
Yeah, back to a coma. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
man. I'll say this, man. The talent that he's amassed at Kentucky over the years, when you look at how many dudes they got in the league and what they doing in the league and how many all-stars they had this year and all this shit, and you look up, they got one tournament title in 2012.
Yeah. One and done. Since the one and done era, they got one title. Duke got one title. Carolina got two, yeah.
In the last 4 years, 9-16, 2019, first round, second round, first round. Yeah.
I guess you do gotta listen to him. That's why you gun shy, but
yeah. Nah, I'm just saying these are the facts, you know. These are the facts. They ain't been to a Final Four since 2014, 2015, you know? That's not good.
I'm just saying, dog, like, just like you said, like, Elie Cadeau need to be in the game. This nigga had Devin Booker on the bench behind the motherfucking Harrison twins, huh? Come on, man. Come on.
Cal ain't no 65. Spring chicken, man. Yeah.
So, yeah. You can huff and puff and blow our Twitter account down, young, but, yeah. You have fun with me not seeing it, young.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
So, what you think about, you think it is UConn's steamroll to not execute, or?
Yeah, they're going to win it again, yeah. I could have told y'all this back in motherfucking November. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Danny Hurley got that thing rolling like Jim Calhoun probably never did. Jim Calhoun never went back to back, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, we will check that out on Saturday and Monday. Now, one thing I was tempted to go back and check it out on Twitter, but I got enough of it in the office and enough of it through motherfucking text group chains and shit, dog. Kenny, can I tell you how fucking happy I am to not have a fucking Caitlin Clark agenda, young?
Mm-hmm.
Niggas are driving themselves crazy, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Between the Ice Cube shit, young, him offering her $5 million to come play the Big Three, to what Angel Reese and them gon' do, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To, like, the updates, young. Oh, yeah. They closed the first half out, man. They about to roll these bitches now. Like, yeah, she ain't that good, man. Nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I seen them 9-3s, young. Man. My man Kyrie, young. Crazy Kyrie, the DC crazy Kyrie, young.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga says she ain't top 10 women, young. I said, she scored more points than any other college player ever, young man or woman.
There's nothing funnier. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish my bite.
Yeah, so he said ever, young, so, you know. These motherfuckers, you know, she dropped that 40 ball. Motherfuckers, 12.3 million people seen that shit on Monday night, young. He come text me yesterday. Not even Tuesday, young, because he was trying to think of some shit for a whole fucking day, young. He text me, she might be top 7 now. I said, man, just...
Like, so who are the other 6?
So he came and linked some damn sport news list and shit that Cam and Mace referred to on their show, young. I say, young.
Ho, he talking about playing right now or all time?
All time.
Okay.
I said, I don't know where she's ranked, young, but then to just definitively say that she's not top 10 when her career isn't even over yet, young. This run isn't even over yet. But as it stands, young, she's the highest scoring basketball player ever in college history, young. To just, like, say it so definitively, young, like, man, why do y'all hate this girl so much, young? Like, personally to me, I don't give a fuck either way, right? Mm-hmm. But I have a level of respect for her because the white media did everything, anything and everything last year to give her an opportunity to talk about LSU because they had bad sportsmanship, young. And she didn't take the bait. She was like, man, that's just basketball. You just got fucking roll with the punches and shit. And I was like, you know what? I respect you for that shit because anybody else whose feelings was hurt and shit could have used that and, you know, somewhat been justified saying, you know, yeah, that wasn't cool that you can wave somebody off the court and shit. Like, we wasn't beefing, like you know, anything like that, young. But she was like, nah, like, they got that, young. To do that, then come back this year and beat them and not return the favor, which she would have been completely justified in doing, and niggas would have had a fucking cow to not even do that, and you still got some shit to say about her, young? Like, what did she do to anybody, young? Besides be white. Because that's what it is, if you're being honest. Y'all got to make it make sense, huh? Again, Kenny, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. No, not at all.
Like, is the racial component that important to y'all, young? Like, first of all these women's college basketball aficionados overnight, young?
Mm-hmm. That's the point I was going to get to. Yeah, I didn't know how all of a sudden all these motherfucking curling pecs walking around this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, young!
Yeah.
These fabulous sports babe-ass niggas, young?
Yeah. I mean, these people, I've never heard talk about women's basketball in my life.
Ever.
And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, she ain't better than motherfucking Diana Taurasi. Nigga, yeah, I ain't never in my life heard you talk about Diana Taurasi. Ever.
Ever, young.
Ever. Lynette Woodard and motherfucking, oh, shit. She ain't motherfucking better than motherfucking JaVale McGee moms and shit. Cheryl Miller and
Tia Thompson.
Yeah, Tia Thompson, motherfucker.
Just name it anybody, you know. Anybody,
yeah. Motherfucker. Lisa Leslie Kent. I'm just like, yeah, y'all just naming people now, you know. She ain't motherfucking better than Cheryl Swoops Young. I ain't never hear you ever talk about Cheryl. Like, where's this coming from, dog?
Right. But I was like, you know what, you know? For y'all niggas not to care for this long, then attach your bandwagon and lose in the first big game, young, that's what the fuck y'all get, young. That's what the fuck y'all get.
Yeah. Yeah. The moment y'all start caring, young.
Yeah, young.
Take that hell.
Yeah, young. Like, nigga, grab your hat, Grandpa Simpson. You out of here, young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, like, I thought the Colorado run this year was quick with Deion, young. This motherfucker, young.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was, like, this run was faster than Ezra motherfucking Miller, young. Like, they mm-hmm. was in and out quick as a bitch, young. Mm-hmm. And Kenny, here's the best thing, young. Here's the best thing, young. I know niggas is recalibrating right now, young.
Yeah, they're recalibrating on South Carolina.
When they lose to South Carolina, young. See? Hey, young.
Yeah.
So glad I don't care, dog. So glad, young. Amazing, young.
It really is. It really
it's
is.
It's amazing, huh? Young. What niggas work themselves up to care about, young.
Yeah. People ain't never watched women's basketball in their lives, you know.
Dog.
They care. And your moms be texting me like, South Carolina won, yeah, LSU won. Like, I ain't got the motherfucking ESPN scoreboard app on my motherfucking phone.
Hey, don't
phone,
you hate
young.
That, young.
Yeah. Hey, just letting you know that LSU won. I know.
Oh, man. Nigga, my phone was lighting up like Thriller, you know? And I'm like, well, what else happened tonight, dog? Mm-hmm. All that shit was women's college basketball. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'll be damned,
yeah. Yeah. People love drama, yeah. Ain't nothing like some good old white versus black, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why, man. Mm-hmm. I wish I was her agent, you know? She is a built-in box office for the next 10 years plus, you know?
Yep.
She about, like, niggas talk about she the new Larry Bird. Nah, dog. Larry Bird.
She the Floyd Mayweather of, like, women's basketball.
Kenny, you know? She is the Floyd Mayweather of women's college basketball, you know?
Mm-hmm. And she gonna be that in WNBA too.
Yeah, yeah. You're
gonna have people that's gonna root for her because insert reason here. You have people that's gonna root against her because insert reason here. You know?
Yep. Polarizing, you know?
Yeah. That'll do it every single time, man. Yeah. And see, this is the thing. It's not because, like, Caitlin Clark, you know. We're old enough to remember, like, and I named a lot of people. Like, I did name, like, the, you know, the Cheryl Millers of the world, the Lise Leslies of the world, the Diana Taurasi's of the world, the Maya Moores of the world. Like, they could hoop. Candace Parker could hoop. Like, everybody I'm naming, they could hoop. So I don't think, like, the, because I heard people say, like, yeah, man, these girls out here playing like dudes, and, like, the game has never been better as they talent. So it's like, nah, man, people just like good old-fashioned drama.
Yeah. I'm just like, man, the definitiveness of people saying she ain't better than 10.
Right. Yeah. I don't agree with that at all. You know?
That's crazy. Yeah. Huh?
No.
Yeah. So she, they lose to South Carolina and she don't have a motherfucking title next to her name. You know? Like, I know niggas going to be on it. You know? So I'm not going to be surprised in the least.
Yep.
Shout out to her and Angel Reese, LSU and Iowa, man. Like, they provide some entertainment for people. And something for people, for niggas to care about. You know? And at the end of the day, it's just bringing more attention to the women's game, which, you know, probably deserves and shit. So, shout out to them, y'all.
Yep.
All right. Anything else sports-wise we got?
No.
Right.
Steph getting traded, that's it.
Yeah, that diva receiver, young man. This nigga Roman going off, you know. He's like, man, fuck him, young. He's a new TO. I was like, yeah.
Wherever he goes, the quarterback becomes a whole lot better. I'll tell you that. Now you add him in Houston, you got Nico, you got Tank, him, Dalton Schultz, they added Joe Mixon in the backfield. Like, that offense is ready to. Ready to go, you know.
Mm-hmm. But let them lose and him not get the ball enough, you know.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, let's hope you know, the coaching and the trust up there has enough to you know, keep that young quarterback safe.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. Let's move on to entertainment. And KB, what you watching?
The only thing, I haven't been to the movies. The only thing I've been watching every week has been, there's a new show on Apple TV Plus called Manhunt.
Okay.
And I don't know if they do like different scenarios. I mean, I'm not sure, but it's this show is about the search for John Wilkes Booth after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And the assassination of Abraham Lincoln is something that I've always been fascinated by, and I think that seed got planted when, as a kid, we went on a field trip to Ford's Theater. And I don't know, did y'all ever go on a field trip up there as a kid?
Did I? I'm not sure, man.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those things that as a kid, it just kind of stuck with me for some reason. Just going up there and like just seeing where President Lincoln was sitting at and just kind of being in that room. And for some reason, like I said, like that seed just got planted in me then. I think I was maybe like 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've always just been very fascinated by like the plot, how it was carried out, the search for him. Him being caught on the Garrett farm, him being shot by Boston Corbett, and all this, like, it's all these details, all his co-conspirators, everything, man. Also think, like, it just helps, like, being from this area, you know, just driving by the Samuel Mudd house as a kid, driving by the Surratt house as a kid. I used to drive by it all the time. I had a friend that lived out Clinton, out in Bonnywood, and that was over there by where the Surratt house was, and that's where... he stopped off and got supplies. Anyway, I think that's always kind of helped as well. Just kind of just being, you know, surrounded by history. But, yeah, I've read books about it. I've seen every documentary about it. So to kind of see, like, a show about it, yeah, it immediately piqued my interest. I think Charmaine posted about it on Twitter one day. I was like, oh, really? All right. And, yeah, I've liked it so far. I know a lot of people... after every episode, they try to nitpick on certain things like historical inaccuracies and stuff like that. Like some of the language that's being used in the show, they're saying like that's not the language that people would have used at that time. Like, for example, John Wilkes Booth was referred to, Patton Oswalt is in it, by the way. Okay. And he refers to John Wilkes Booth as a creep. And the show, and a lot of people saying, like, yeah, that's not language they would have used back then. But then somebody went back and was like, nope, nah, it was. Y'all just be impressed. Mm-hmm. trying to find shit.
They would have said cretin.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Or donut.
Or donut, exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I like it a whole lot. It's one of them joints, man. Like, I think they got about maybe 3 or 4 episodes left. But it's going, like, really in-depth on Andrew Johnson's attitude after he ascended to the presidency. You know, just the manhunt and, like, the scope of it. You know, they looked for this dude everywhere. They went to Montreal because that's where the Confederate Secret Service was stationed. New York, you name it. Just, like, there was so many Confederate sympathizers in New York at the time. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew where this dude went. I recommend it. Like, if you're just a fan of history like I am, man, and have had any interest in that story over the years, I recommend watching that joint, man. So, looking forward to seeing it. Episodes come out every Friday. It's definitely one of those shows I wish they just would have released all the episodes at once, cause I just could have binged it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so far so good, man. Yeah, I think that's really the only thing that I've really been keeping up on, you know.
Okay. I check it out because I like the Manhunt series that was on Netflix. They drop one every few years. Like, I think they did one.
This might be a part of that, yeah.
Yeah, they did one on the Unabomber. They did mm-hmm. one on the, what's called the Atlanta Centennial Park Bombings. Mm-hmm. And it was something else. Might have been... one of those fucking mass murders out in California and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I didn't see too much. I've been, you know, playing host and running around and shit, man. But our last night together last night, my sisters, we got a chance to see Bob's documentary, Imagining the Indian, the fight against Native American mascotting. And yeah, my sisters, who are really big history buffs also, mm-hmm. like even way more than me and shit, man, they definitely enjoyed it. Like their heritage and shit, man, their father's side of the family has you know, Native American lineage and shit, so you know, they're definitely, you know, interested in the Native American stories and empathizing with them. So yeah, man, sat here as a family, watched it and shit, and paused it and had conversations in between it. And, like, it took us about 3 hours to get through that joint, you know. So it's a real good real good exercise for the family, man. Like, you know, gave us some bonding time. So shout out to Bosch, shout out to Black and Stone, and everybody who they got to participate in this joint, man. Really good. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Amazon. You can rent it or buy it. You should buy it. Just saying.
Yep.
And yeah, man. Shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, man. Just man, when Black and Stone went in that motherfucking bar, young and that Black Redskin fan,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That Bama, yo.
Yeah, that Bama.
That Bama, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. My folks getting yelled at walking to the games and shit, you know?
Like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, just.
Again, the nerve.
Yeah, the nerve of you niggas.
Yeah.
The nerve. Yep. All right. I think I watched the episode of Rick and Michonne yesterday at work. So I think I'm like one or two episodes behind that. Yeah, solid, you know. Like, it's the best Walking Dead property in quite some time. Even if you skipped everything else since, like, maybe, you know, maybe when Fear first started, or if you even, you know, tapped out when a lot of people tapped out when Glenn died, might want to jump back in here, man. Like, you'll definitely catch the story real quick since, you know, the two main players here, man. So I want to check that out. I haven't checked out Curb this week yet. Yeah, man, my entertainment been very limited, man. Oh, I have checked out the first three episodes of the new X-Men 97 on Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the first two of it. Yeah, I need to get more into it.
Yeah, really good, man. Yeah, without giving too much away, man, the story is really good. I hear that it's an actual real story from the comics and shit, man. Because I was feeling the way when Storm lost her powers and shit, man. But it's a story arc there, so I feel a little bit better now, knowing that that's not the end of her. So that's cool. And I think it's like two or three new episodes of Invincible up on Amazon Prime. Yeah, like the X-Men 97 is like, you know, it's kind of like for grown people. It's not necessarily for kids, but kids can watch it, you know. Invincible is not for fucking kids, you know. Like, that, yeah. Like the fucking killing, the sexual over and undertones and shit, man. Like the grown-up nature of that shit, dog. Like, it is... Like, it's fucking Watchmen in a cartoon, basically, yeah. Not for kids. But really good, though. Really good, though. So, that's about all I've been watching, man. Nothing else, really. Try to get back into some TV this weekend. Hopefully. Yep. All right. Do you have a racism wake your ass up update?
I do.
Okay.
Headline is Mortgage Lending Company Must Pay. Oh,
can you,
yo.
My bad. One more thing, young.
Yes, sir.
Boss said I got to talk about this, young. They have just cast Julia Gardner from Ozark as the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four movie, young. Yeah, I might have to go to Twitter and get some of this, young. I know these nerds mad, young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it either, but yeah, I don't understand it, you know? Like, is there a variant of the Silver Surfer that was a woman, or are they just MCU-ing it up? Hmm. I honestly don't know, you know? Like, if they just wanted to, like, you know, cause a splash or shit, like, they could have waited till Max B got out of jail and made him the motherfucking Silver Surfer. I don't get why they would make this, like, dog. So make this make sense to me, y'all. Help me,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, yeah. Sam just sent this video of this nigga mad down.
Yeah, I was about to play the audio. It must be good, dude.
Yeah, play it, yeah.
MCU version of the Fantastic Four is officially gone. And before people start, no, it's not just because she's a female. It's the reason why they're using the female version of the Silver Surfer. Because instead of using the iconic version of Silver Surfer right here, Norn Red, They would rather use a female version of the Silver Surfer, which I can't even tell you off the top of my head because I don't even remember the name. But surely there's no other reason other than she was the best person for the job. There's no other reason at all. There's no reason why you wouldn't use an iconic character and instead gender swap it and use it as somebody else. There's no other reason other than that. I can't think of any other reason than she was the best actor or actress for the job. I really can't think of anything else. Yeah, this shit is DOA, man. Just get the fuck out of here. This shit's stupid, man.
Hey, yeah, so if I'm not mistaken, like, isn't he saying that there actually is a version of the Surfer being a woman?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's a little bit better, yeah. Now, you know, do you want to have the one that people more so are familiar with? Or do they feel like maybe since there's been two other Fantastic Four movies with the Silver Surfer, then I don't know, yeah. I don't know how it's going to work out, Kenny. But I can't wait to see the nerds talk about it, though.
Yeah. The last thing I'm going to do is try to tell nerds who really care about who should and what versions of what character and all that. My thing is, who gives a fuck? My thing.
What's right and what's wrong, man?
Yeah, like, why don't y'all wait to see what the fuck the movie is like? If it's trash, then yeah, call it trash, you know?
Yeah.
My thing is, after I was completely wrong about Heath Ledger being cast as Joker, you know, I was like, you know what, you know, y'all go ahead and do y'all thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. They don't really care about that shit.
They don't really care, you know. They're not really taking this serious, you know.
Yeah. Okay, I give you a lot of credit for that, young. At least you admit it, young. It's a lot, man. When motherfucking Ari dropped that joint, that motherfucking Brokeback Joker joke, young.
Mm-hmm.
On Entourage, young. Mm-hmm. Niggas was on it, dog. Niggas was cooking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then that movie motherfucker dropped. I ain't say nothing about the Heath Ledger. Nah, nigga. Niggas was on it, dog.
Kingfish Ari.
Kingfish niggas, young. Like, Ari shit on motherfuckers on the small screen. He can't deny that shit. Well, his character can't, young. Like, I'm talking about niggas, young. Niggas was cooking it, and then they start copping please, young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got caught up in that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fair, young, but like, yeah, learn from your fucking mistakes, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I ain't mad at niggas for making jokes and shit, but niggas like, it's gonna be trash. It's over, young. Like,
It's DOA and all that just because of this. You know?
It's DOA, young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just wait like most equal opportunity parties do, young. Wait till it's bad, then trash it.
Then trash it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't even seen a fucking shot of it. Like, wait till a trailer, at least. I'm like, you know, most reasonable people wait till it was a Madam Web trailer before they shit.
They start shitting on it, right?
Yeah,
because you could tell it was gonna be trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They just showing her my. They're gonna be pumping these motherfucking clips. Now, Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Silver Surfer from the South, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the outrage.
Mm-hmm.
More on that upcoming weeks. All right, KB, my bad. Racism update.
Mm-hmm. My bad. Headline: mortgage lending company must pay after black couple's home undervalued by nearly $300K. Changes its policies but still claims no wrongdoings. Amid a growing number of reports about black homeowners' homes being undervalued, one of the nation's largest mortgage lenders has settled a 2022 lawsuit filed by a black couple in Maryland who claimed racial bias in their home appraisal. Although their mortgage lender, Loan Depot, agreed to a host of sweeping policy changes after the settlement last week, the company continues to deny any allegations of wrongdoings, the New York Times reported. The lawsuit obtained by the Atlanta Black Star was filed by Nathan Conley and Shani Mott. They allege Loan Depot and appraiser Shane Lanham discriminated against them by dramatically undervaluing their home in an appraisal based on race and the location of the Baltimore home adjacent to a black census block and located within an affluent, predominantly white neighborhood. Lanham also denied the allegations. According to the 2022 lawsuit, Lanham appraised their home for only $472,000 over $75,000 below the loan officer's conservative estimate of value, and Loan Depot denied their loan application because of the low valuation. The black couple then challenged their appraisal in a detailed letter. However, Loan Depot maintained its application denial and did not provide any substantive response to their communications about discriminatory and flawed nature of the appraisal, the lawsuit stated, adding that the company stopped responding to their phone calls. Following the removal of family photos from their home and having a white associate impersonate the homeowner, a practice referred to as whitewashing, the home appraised for $750,000 during a second appraisal, according to the lawsuit. The couple attributed the nearly $300,000 increase in value to the second appraiser's assumption that the homeowners were white. The settlement included an undisclosed payment to Connolly and the estate of Mott, who died on March 12th after battling cancer, as reported by the New York Times. He taught black studies at Johns Hopkins University. In an email, Jonathan Fine, a spokesperson for Loan Depot, told the New York Times, Loan Depot strongly opposes bias in the home finance process. While we continue to deny the specific allegations in this lawsuit and have made no admission of fault, we're proud of the commitments announced today, which will formalize many of our existing practices and provide additional resources to help our customers in the appraisal and review process. As for policy changes, the mortgage lender will offer a second appraisal when there are signs of discrimination and bias in the process, according to the reports. Loan Depot will revamp staff training on fair housing and lending laws, history of real estate discrimination, and will cut ties with biased appraisers. In addition, Loan Depot will promptly inform applicants about their right to request a reconsideration of value and ROV and escalate any biased allegations to their fair lending group. They also commit to keeping interest rates locked during the ROV period to ensure fairness for homeowners. The settlement comes as reports of low home appraisals for black families have emerged in other states. In an experiment, a real estate broker assessed the appraisal value of his expansive New York residence with and without signs of black occupancy. Jean Paul Bernard, an Instagram financial coach, shared a video with his 38,000 followers illustrating the disparity. Despite a smaller neighboring house being appraised at $4.8 million, Bernard's home was valued at $4.4 million in January 2022 when he left black identifiers such as artwork and family photos visible. Another incident happened in 2021 where a black woman in Indiana said the value of her home jumped by more than $100,000 after she removed black identifiers from her house after a third home appraisal. Quote, I get choked up even thinking about it now because I was so excited and so happy, and then I was so angry that I had to go through all of that just to be treated fairly, Indianapolis homeowner Carlette Duffy told local station Fox 29 at the time. Duffy decided to refinance her home in a black neighborhood near downtown Indianapolis and intended to use the equity to buy her grandparents a nearby home, renovate it, and preserve it within the family. That's it.
Why the hell we gotta jump through hoops, Sean?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, dog, I would think if you know somebody has the money gonna make payments, Sean, and like, just do right, you know? Like, wouldn't you want somebody to make that investment, you know, to better themselves?
Don't you try to explain racism, you know?
Yeah, I get it, you know? All right, what outrage is going on, Kenny?
People are really mad. I mean, really mad. They even launched a motherfucking, a petition on change.org to boycott that new Good Times animation show on Netflix. You know?
I keep on seeing thumb clips on YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to be bothered, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the trailer?
I have.
Thoughts?
It's bad, you know. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. They even got the, I'm going to read this real quick, you know. This is on the Hollywood Reporter earlier today. Good Times original cast reacts to animated reboot trailer. I thought it was going to be different. John Amos and Bernadette Stanise tell the Hollywood Reporter about the project that spurred a divisive response on social media. They figured if you put us in there, it wouldn't look so bad. Star stars of the original Good Times are weighing in at the trailer for Netflix's forthcoming animated reboot led some fans to question whether the new project will be Dynamite. Celebrating its 50th anniversary this year after premiering in February 1974, Good Times focused on the Chicago-based Evans family, with the Norman Lear produced series running for 6 seasons, earning praise for its realistic portrayal of a working-class black family. After its first promo debuted last week for Netflix's animated exploration of the Evans family's current generation, plenty of social media users expressed surprise that the new series, which appears to double down on stereotypes and elements as a drug-dealing infant, didn't highlight the positive themes from the initial show. Yeah, yeah. The Hollywood Reporter spoke to original Good Times cast members John Amos, who portrayed patriarch James Evans for the first 3 seasons, and Bernadette Denise, known for playing Thelma, middle child to James and Florida Evans, throughout the series. About their reactions to the Netflix trailer, both made it clear that they were reserving full judgment until they're able to watch the show. I really can't form an opinion, as I've not seen any of the episodes yet, Amos says. He goes on to explain that the high quality of the 1970 series makes it challenging for newer projects that aspire to be compared to it. Norman and the entire cast of the company set the bar pretty high. They have a hard time reaching that level of entertainment and education. I wish them the best. I see people aspiring to that, but I don't see anybody reaching that goal, especially in an animated version. Stanis, or Stannis, who stars in a forthcoming BT Plus series, The Family Business New Orleans, notes that she had yet to watch the animated trailer for Good Times and heard a mixture of responses to it. The actress looks forward to watching the revival's episode, but acknowledges that some fans of the 70s series will probably have assumed that the original cast show's cast is front and center for the animated version, given that it used the same name. Probably a lot of people don't know how Hollywood works, then he says. A lot of times that you use a certain name to open the door for a new show. That could be what it is, but I'm sure a lot of people will be a little confused at first because they had to think that it's just us. They think, oh my God, that's got to be Thelma, JJ, and Michael, and then you come in there and you don't see anything like that. Stannis explains that the Netflix series team previously reached out to her reps to have her voice a small part on the show, which she did. She said that Walker also voices a minor character. I did a little voice with him, but I did not know it was going to be the way that it is. I thought it was going to be different. She says, as for the roles voiced by herself and Walker, she continues, it's just a little hint there, but I think they did that because they knew what their show was going to be like. So I guess they figured if you put us in there, it wouldn't look so bad or whatever. Netflix animated Good Times counts the late Lear, Stephen Curry, and Seth MacFarlane as executive producers, with Renata Shepherd serving as showrunner. Launching April 12th, the show features a voice cast that includes J.B. Smoove, Yvette Nicole Brown, Jay Farrow, Masai Martin, and Gerald Sling Johnson. In a post last week on X Formerly Twitter, Brown responded to a user who questioned why the community alum would be involved in Good Times revival. She said the show is edgy and more irreverent than the Good Times of our childhood, but it's still a show about family, fighting the system, and working to make things better despite where you start in the world. Brown wrote, that 100% lines up with my values. THL has reached out to Netflix for comment. People mad, you know.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, you know.
Yeah, it looked really bad, you know, and it's swimming in stereotypes, you know, so.
Yeah, just like the thumbnails I've seen, you know, I was like, this look, little coony, you know.
Yeah. It's a lot coony, you know.
In the trailer, are they like, I just assumed that they were like being like had over exaggerating like reactions to shit, and mm-hmm. just it's one of those cartoons. You know? Mm-hmm. I'll reserve my right, but I don't know. Cast seemed good, young, but. When I can't fuck with the animation, dog, like, I don't know what I can do.
Yeah, man. I really don't got a lot to add, you know. It looks real bad, you know. Now, I will give it a chance. I'll watch a couple episodes, but,
when does it drop?
April 12th.
Okay, so niggas got a month to be mad.
It'll be in, that's about About 10 days, you know. Mm-hmm.
All right. Catch y'all niggas on the angry train.
Yeah. Yeah, we were off last week, but yeah, Nick's still mad about Candace Owens being on the Breakfast Club and Joe Budden podcast. You know? And niggas got every right to be, you know. Cause I don't know why these shows feel compelled to have her on young. She ain't no expert on nothing.
So I will give Charlamagne a half of shot of bail because at least they've had political pundit-y people on there before. But Joe just doing it to get ratings because
they doing it to get ratings too.
He wants that spike. They are. I mean, all shows are like have guests to get ratings and shit, but it's not 100% outside their wheelhouse to have somebody on here talking about fucking politics and shit. Like,
to have open, like, just coons on there? Just call it what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Coons. Absolutely. Coonis Owens. I like Clandice, personally.
Clandice, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody called her Gabriel. I saw it on Twitter. They had a picture of her next to Gabriel Union. So they had Gabriel Union and Gabriel Confederacy.
See y'all, that's what I like, the creativity.
Creativity, man. Very creative, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Malcolm Martin was partying on her when she got fired, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Fuck she get.
Yeah. The fuck you get. You be calling black people absolute trash.
Mm-hmm.
Since you stepped on the scene, you know? Now you lose your job. Now, hey, you come back to, I guess, quote unquote black. I don't.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
Nope. Go back over there with them, young.
She on there singing the motherfucking theme to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and that's supposed to mean she down, you know?
What should you do this on
Breakfast Club? They did like a, I guess, a black quiz for you. How many fights did Fresh Prince get on before his mom sent him to L.A.? And she starts singing the whole fucking song. They're like, hey, okay, go ahead, can't. Oh, God, you know.
Yeah, see, fuck them all then, you know. Fuck them all. Why we gotta come back and save Coons, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Why? Let him die, young.
I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that keep you?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. She's just so upset because niggas came to save her once upon a time ago, young. And she about face and turn her back on niggas, you know?
She just ain't turn her back, you know? Turning your back is one thing, you know?
Yeah.
But then this blatantly lying about how George Floyd died, you know? Like, I can just go on down the list, you know, of this absolutely abhorrent shit she done said over the years, you know?
Yeah. She is definitely a repulsive little rat, you know?
I was pretty much done with that show anyway, you know, because I always felt like I was getting dumber watching it. But now, I ain't, fuck that shit, man.
I mean, I be spotty on, man. I don't be wanting to get into it with niggas, young, but I be spotty on so much shit that niggas enjoy, young. I be like, you know what? It's not my place to take away y'all joy and shit, young, but like, don't tell me I ain't whatever the fuck you think I should be because I don't watch, insert your favorite show, podcast, you know, whatever. And like, I'll see clips of if like they are, you know, if they hit that number and start the trending shit, man. But like, to to watch this shit with niggas whose opinions I don't respect on a multitude of things, young, like, why would I waste my time doing that? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of content out there, and I don't get to watch all the shit I want to watch. So why am I wasting my time on shit that I know it's going to just make me mad, yeah?
Right.
Like all the time, like, every once in a while, like, okay, let me see this nigga talking about. I know he's going to, like blow me with this shit, but at least I understand perspective that a lot of niggas going to have moving forward, so I'll know how to address them and shit, yeah? But, like, just do that shit over and over and over again every day, yeah? Yeah, yeah, you can get dumber doing that shit, yeah? That shit can fucking contaminate your damn, like, ethics and shit, yeah? Like, nah. Gotta let some of that shit go, yeah? You'd be much happier, too.
Yeah.
Trust me. So, yeah. Guess I'll see where she lands and shit. We'll be hearing about that, yeah? But,
yeah.
Niggas out here trying to save her,
yeah? Yeah.
Because she a sister.
Yeah.
She ain't my sister.
Nah. At all. Get the fuck away from me, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. My sister would dropkick that bitch, huh?
Man, what? But you always say, man, you can't trust these niggas.
None of them, Kenny. None of them, you know? They all ain't gonna do nothing but disappoint you, huh? At some point.
And see, my thing is, you got people in, you know, black media who've been, like, inviting her to come on their shows for years. Like, yeah, you always talk about debate me this, debate me that. All right, Roland Martin. You can say what you want about him, but he's been trying to get her on his show for years. Like, come on my show. Mm-hmm. I own my shit. You say you're not afraid of black media, come on my show then. I know people on Urban View, Clay Kane, they've always said, like, you know what? Yeah, she come on that show. I have a conversation with her, absolutely. Because she'll go on places where they know they're not going, they don't have the range to challenge anything that she's saying. And, like, I didn't watch that interview, but it was everything that I heard. It was, you know, I thought it was going to be just from what I've heard. It's like, yeah, she went on there, pretty much said whatever, and, yeah, there wasn't no pushback on nothing. None of the absolute just vile things she said in the past, none of that shit got brought up. It's like, she pretty much just got come on and say whatever the fuck she wanted to say. Like, why? Like, this is a simple question. Like, why is Juneteenth ghetto and made up? You said that. Nobody brings this up. It's ghetto for us to celebrate the end of our enslavement in this country. The symbolic, like end of us slavery in this country. Like, that's ghetto and made up to you?
Yeah, we talk about she ain't going on them shows, yeah. I just thought about her going on with motherfucking Karen and Rod, yeah. Karen Hunter and Rod. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dog. They have her ass in that motherfucking Road Warriors Doomsday device, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Must see TV.
Yeah.
Must see. But she would never do that.
Talk to him, Rod.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so good, yeah. But yeah, fuck that bitch. Cause you know what? Cause now she need it.
She
good,
need it. Young. Right.
Nope. Nope.
And like, apparently she wrote like a post on Instagram or something like that. Like, you know, there's always been this narrative that I'm against my community. And now it's all of a sudden it's my blackness and all that. And now people say that's a lie thanks to the Breakfast Club and Joe Budden. I'm like, you dumb motherfuckers. Y'all platforming this bullshit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they need the shit just like she does, young.
White Lives Matter ass? Come on, young.
Yep.
I will be disappointed, but I don't expect more from them. So I can't be disappointed.
Yeah. There you go. More than fair.
the last outrage, racists are outraged that apparently Baltimore has a black mayor and Maryland has a black governor. So.
You said what?
Racist. In response to Godzilla stepping on the bridge.
Godzuki,
excuse me. Yeah, racists are upset that Baltimore has a black mayor and Maryland has a black governor. Or as they put it, DEI hires.
Mad.
As if he's not an elected official.
Right.
You don't get hired to be the mayor of Baltimore. But,
yeah.
You don't get hired to be the governor of Maryland. Like, people have to actually go to the polls and vote for that shit. But, mm-hmm.
Cry your asses asleep, man.
Yeah.
Hey, young. I finally put together who the fuck Wes Moore looked like, yeah. Styles P, yeah.
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Dog, I was like, yeah, it's gonna look like somebody, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then I seen his ass on TV all week and shit. I was like, man, that's Styles motherfucking P, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Alright, what other outrage? Oh, man. Nigga, these damn content creators on YouTube are making a fortune off Puff this month. Well, this past, like, end of fucking March and certainly into April, yeah. Dog, like, it's been show after show. I think Acton did, like, fucking 8 shows on Puff so far, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Star been partying,
mm-hmm.
like, just any and everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucking lawyer sites and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, just monetizing, like, shit. He's, like, this the biggest motherfucking month for YouTube since, fourth quarter, you know. Just because of him. So, yeah. Everybody's waiting for this imminent arrest and shit, man. So, they can monetize even more, dog. Like, it's... What a time to monetize, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These comment sections of videos about him, dog, like, if a nigga got it made up in their mind that they like you and you can do no wrong and shit, you know, then every excuse in the world will come out, you know? It's quite amazing, actually. Yeah, like, he settled with Cassie because of this, you know? Like, yeah, but he settled in the day, though, you know? Like, that's kind of a red flag, you know? You know? FBI and Homeland Security shows up at your motherfucking house, you know? Like, it's not because they're looking for a reason to get a bigger fish than you. Nah, you the big fish, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is gonna be, it's gonna hurt a lot of people's feelings, huh? And I'm like, that's what the fuck y'all get for trust? Like, y'all don't know these people, you know? And I know, we all got our favorites and stuff, like, in all forms of media, sports and shit, like, man, but when shit looks this bleak, young, at the very least, maybe you just need to shut the fuck up and let it play out. You know? But you doing all this caping for somebody when it looks this bad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to end up bad with you having, like now you fucking 10 toes down and shit. So you can't turn about, you can't turn about face, right? So you're going to be defending this for the rest of your life, you know? Like, dog, what's name went to court 2 weeks ago, finally? Really under the radar. A lot of people didn't see it and shit, young, but Carly Russell finally had her day in court, you know? Had you seen this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had to go in front of that fucking judge and admit that she was lying. about that whole rules about the white man and the baby and, you know, disappearing for, yeah, young, she had to fucking admit to all that shit, dog. Now, to her credit, young, she looked terrified of jail time and she was contrite. She was sorry, young. And I was like, you know what? At the time, when everybody was defending her and shit, young, well, not everybody, but the people who were defending her were like, just like adamant about it and shit, young, and trying to blame, you know, patriarchy and every other word that they use every time mm-hmm. somebody got to fucking be held responsible mm-hmm. for some shit that they did wrong. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, young. A part of me want her to go to jail, young. I like, somebody got to be made an example of so this shit doesn't keep on fucking happening, young. But seeing her in court, young, seeing how fucking, like, real sorry she looked, young, I said, yeah, man, like, I don't want that girl to go to jail, man. And, you know, the judge gave her a tongue lashing and shit, man, but he gave her, you know, community service, and she got paid back, what, like, 14 grand, some shit, like, of the resources that they wasted down there. And I'm like, that's cool. I can roll with that, you know. But, like, motherfuckers who lie, like, Jussie, and keep on lying and just, like, give their damn supporters more reason to keep on being defiant in the face of truth, young. Like, nah, some of them niggas need to go to jail, young. But even after she admitted all this, niggas was still saying, well, you know, men get away with this shit all the time. We're not talking about men, we're talking about her. Accountability, what's wrong with it? She took it, and y'all can't, young. She a fucking perpetrator. That's why I don't trust them niggas, Kenny. That's mm-hmm. why I don't trust them niggas, young. Mm-hmm. So, we gonna see this shit with Puff 2 until he go down. If he in fact goes down. And then after he goes down. Because mm-hmm. when niggas make it up in their mind that you can do no wrong, ain't no change in their mind, young. Because at that point, it becomes less about whether some said person is guilty or not, young. It's about them being right. Them being made a fool of on social networks. Them taking a hit. Hey, if y'all don't get y'all motherfucking Robert Green reading book ass niggas the fuck out of here, young. Mm-hmm. I'm not going down with the ship on niggas I don't know, young. In the face of, like, not even, like, you know, crimes and shit, but, like, heinous crimes, young. Like, trafficking, sexual assault, sodomy, like, dog, like, y'all willing to ride with that, young? Gotta be looking at some niggas kind of funny now, young. Mm-hmm. What they would do to the white, like, man, they just got fucking Epstein and Weinstein, young. And Ghislaine Maxwell, dog, like, we can't use that anymore, young. Everybody paying the piper, young. So my stance is as it's always been. Get all these weirdos the fuck out of here, young. Black, white, woman, male, Chinese, eight. I don't care, young. Get them all the fuck out of here, young. Should nobody be above the law? With shit this heinous, young. Heavens. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's my outrage.
And Cassie, apparently she cooperating, you know, so.
Yeah, but she already got paid off. Well, guess what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it's a federal case, that shit goes out the motherfucking window.
Mm-hmm.
What if that was y'all sister? Your daughter's niece's nephew? Like, man, come on, y'all. But, you know, he gonna have his day in court, though. If, in fact, he's brought up on charges. But all that, now he's trying to take a black man? Man, come on, man. Spare me, young, please. Mm-hmm. This nigga was just diddy bopping at the motherfucking pool, young. All right. Is that all we got? Any more outrage? Let me see what's trending on Twitter. Let me open
this. Amanda Seals been trending all day.
Well, before I sigh, which I already did. Well, why, Kenny?
I didn't read the article. Somebody, I think, at the Root. The Greer, one of them motherfuckers, wrote an article about her, pretty much saying, like, yeah, her hubris is the reason why, you know, she's not being invited to certain shit or whatever. And, yeah, Amanda Seals apparently went on Instagram and was like, I don't know this person. Why is this happening? Yada, yada, yada. And, some reason, a lot of people just don't like her, you know?
Without knowing her, just observing her from afar, she just seems like one of them chicks that always got some shit going. Like, don't you know, at work, like, man, she always got some shit going. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't like being around people who they're always on defense with. Like, you gotta worry about them weaponizing something that you said, even in jest and shit, in the wrong instance where you can be made out to be the bad guy. I'll say it like this, Sean. Like, you know, she went to that party with all her co-stars and Insecure, and she got thrown at that party, young, and nobody came to her rescue, young.
Oh, they didn't. I think they didn't let her in, if I'm not mistaken.
They didn't let her in. Mm-hmm. That says a lot that nobody came to defend her, young. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody, I know it's a, you know, biggest surprise in the world. Everybody at my job may not like me, young, but nobody like me. Sometimes you gotta read the room. That's all I'm saying, young. It can't be everybody else all the time, young. And then at some point, you get that reputation. People don't want to be bothered. Because if you get burned and people told you this in advance, young, you the fucking fool. So I get it. So this woman can be as innocent as a newborn child, young. Could be the case, young. Would I want to be bothered with that shit, young? Knowing her track record, young, of relationships and friendships and shit? Nah, I'm good, young. And I think that's how a lot of people feel. I don't know. I mean, how do you feel?
I'm not going to say, like, at this point it kind of feels like it's piling on. But I just know that, you know, her name has been, I'm not going to say in the news, but, like, when she spoke out, let me say this maybe a couple weeks ago, she was like, you know, for as much as I love black people, as much as I advocate for black people, I think it was, I forget what, I think it was the BET Awards, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but, like, it was some award show that she was saying, like, yeah, like, during the pandemic, I helped host it, but I haven't been invited to it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she was just kind of asking a question, like, why is that? You know, for somebody who, again, you know, loves us as much as I do, it seems like I'm, you know, excluded from certain shit. And, you know, people went on our social media pages. They had their opinions or whatever. Then today, I think this article came out. I think that was kind of the straw. Now, I did go on our IG page, and I saw a lot of people on there saying, like, man, we love you. We got your support. You know, there's a lot of, you know, celebrities and stuff like that who were saying, like, at this point, it just seems like, you know, it's just kind of piling on. And she was very upset about it. She was emotional about it. So, and again, I don't know her at all. I do know that she said some things that weren't necessarily true about Myron Rowe. I know at one point in this podcast, I played her comments when she was on, what the hell was the name of that damn show? She was on there with Tamera Mowry and Jeezy, old girl, you know.
Is it The Talk?
That could be it, you know. And she was talking about that Jesse Smollett shit and saying, like, even though he lied, that was kind of, like, borderline noble for him to do that because it still brought attention to hate crimes. That was some shit. She said some wild shit, you know, like.
Yeah, shit like that is going to definitely rub people wrong, you know.
Yeah, like, you know.
It's okay he lied, you know. No, it's not.
Hold on, you know. See, now I got to, because I don't want to be one of these people that just call people. Here you go.
Chicago politics is ruthless, okay? I'm telling you, this is more about Kim Fox and that situation than Jussie. They're just using Jussie as a scapegoat. Come on, y'all. It was no victims. They can't really prove it.
Thank you.
Everything was
even
was
if it was a hoax. Even if it was a hoax, this is really happening all the time. And even if it was a hoax for the sake of bringing attention to this, then I'm like, that's low-key noble. Like, I'm just at my wit's end about us centering situations like this and wanting to make people have to pay. And it's like, Emmett Till's accuser was a lie. I think she's still alive.
Yep. Yeah,
and this young man died.
Cut that shit the fuck off right now, yeah. We're not doing Jussie and Emmett Till, yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I tried to be nice before, Kitty, but nah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why the fuck people don't like her, yeah.
Yeah, boy. That one stuck with me, yeah.
If you don't get the fuck out my face, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
What? See, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Woo, like, boy. Yeah, every time that, I hit, you know, like, I played it for on this show, and, like.
That was on The Talk, yeah?
Yeah. That was the name of that show. Yeah. The Real. Yeah, not The Talk, The Real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was talking.
Yeah. I think there was a joint called The Talk, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, y'all. That shit right there, y'all.
Yeah, that shit right there. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, at first I heard people laughing and shit. I'm like, okay, maybe this is part of her routine,
yeah? Yeah.
So, you know, maybe in some twisted world, like, at the end of this joke, young, like, Krusty the Clown come out on a unicycle or some shit, you know? But she, like, really talked, having a conversation and brought up Emmett Till with Jussie lying?
Oh, boy.
Young.
Yeah.
I did not have any prior knowledge of her period before that and be like, you know what? I don't like her, you know?
Yeah, it's that bad.
Cause that's fucking ridiculous.
It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. That's everything. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, man, if you don't get that menthol smoking ass voice the fuck out of my face, I'm like, nah, bro, we not doing Jussie and Emmett Till, you know? Man, that's the name of the episode. We not doing Jussie and Emmett Till. <man. laughs> What?
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah, like, yeah.
She started someplace and then, like, conjured up a evil Lynn magic spell, young. And
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they ain't bring her back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. the comments. I look it up on YouTube, you know, in the comments. You know,
yeah. The commentage. You know.
Yeah. Low key noble, you know.
Come on, try.
Lying about it. Yeah. They should put the shackles on her that Sorry. Day. And she's walking Sorry. Around.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No one was hurt in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're mad about?
Hey, yeah. I wish you need to look at this. And look Nigga. At and look at and look at her by face.
Hey, yeah. She said
Tamara.
Hey, I know Tamara's face good and long, you know. I know that face long as shit, you know.
Yeah.
You know what they mad about? Yes! We mad at what you saying! We mad at that!
Oh, man. I should take a screenshot and send this shit.
Swear to God, you
know. Oh, boy. Yeah, man. So, yeah. That was the one that kind of stuck with me, bud, man. You know.
Yeah. Remember them MTV Celebrity Deathmatch Claymation joint, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
They need to do her and Clandish, Sean.
Yeah.
I'd probably cheer for her with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an easy one, but
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you saw my IG joint when I said me watching Duke versus State now and had that picture of Shamalad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing between the lesser two evils, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be me watching her in Clandish, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got 92 million deaths or 92 billion deaths or 500 billion deaths. I guess I'll take the 92. Yeah.
I'm about to send you a screenshot, you know, of everybody on the panel, their reaction when she see it, when she did see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
I know it was good. You know?
Yeah.
Jenny Dog saying, yeah, I need to mind my motherfucking business right here, yeah. She's like, nope. Man, Tamara looked like motherfucking robot Draymond Green on that platform, yeah. Short in the end, she was like, that can't be right.
Yeah, Adrian, you know. Adrian Bailon, yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real good
yeah.
Snapshot, no mm-hmm. pun intended, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shorty just wanna smack the shit out of her right now, yeah. She's like, yup.
Yeah.
She is like, man, how much would this motherfucking chair shot cost me?
Yeah. It's that bad now.
Low key noble.
Low key noble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi. Yeah. I think that's all I can handle tonight, Kenny.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. Yeah.
Let's get some shout-outs thinking about you.
Yeah, man, as always, thanks, everybody. Listen to the show. Much appreciated. Want to say thanks to Super Skyty the DJ for your donation to the Patreon. Much appreciated, brother.
My man, Scotty. Yep. Yes, sir.
And, yeah, as always, you can follow us on social media at KBADS and at Hot Five Starter. That's KBADDS. If you'd like to know how I lost 100 pounds, and I'm doing pretty good keeping it off, man. Seeing a lot of people when I've been home, and a lot of compliments, you know.
Hey, man. Compliments. Well deserved.
Yeah. If you'd like to know how I did it, there's a link in my Twitter bio, or X bio, I should say. All the information is on there. And any questions, comments, concerns, send them to highfivestarter@gmail.com. And if you'd like to donate to the Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/highfivestarter. See y'all next week.
All right. Shout out to everybody out there who supports the podcast, donates, listens, pass the word on. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate Ba. Again, check his documentary out on Amazon. Shout out to my sisters. The toilet paper is low, but I love them dearly. And I'll holler at you guys next week. Surface Podcast, we out.